Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and again, as always, we appreciate you tuning us in. And we also appreciate you visiting our sponsors, telling them you heard about them here on CCTA Wake Up Call. We're going to have a special guest today, but I'm going to go ahead and introduce the rest of the crew. You already know them if you're regulars, and that's Bob Mary Griswold.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Mary is Right Wing Granny. It's a wonderful conservative blog. You can find it at rightwinggranny.com. She gets so many hits, she can't keep track of them anymore, and that's no joke, folks. Her blog's big time out there. We got Diane Ruffino.
Hello.
She also has a blog for Love of God and Country. And you can find that out there. Diane is a prolific writer, as well as attorney and constitutional scholar, studied under Judge Napolitan.
A scientist.
Teacher. Well, we don't have but an hour for a show, so just tell us what you haven't done. All right. And then we've got Hal and Rainer James.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Hal is the chairman of CCTA, and if you're new to the show, CCTA is Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. We're a nonpartisan, nonprofit, conservative group. We advocate for our Constitution, less taxes, more freedom, restoration of our rights that they keep trying to take away from us.
Mm-hmm. A free enterprise system that functions freely.
And preventing them from taking away our rights. We have a number of committees here at CCTA. We have Legislative Action Committee, which Diane is chair of over there. We have, help me out, Hal, you're the chair.
Well, our committees that we have?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, we got an education, public education committee. Right. We got a book reading club, and we have
a vetting committee.
Vetting committee, I'm in charge of that. And Dr. Greg Murphy is and Greg Holt have submitted their answers to our questions. They're on our website. The answers are there.
CC
the other two declined to do that for some reason. I don't really know why.
CCTaxpayers.com, that's our website. Right. On there you'll find all our vetting reports of the candidates that have agreed to participate in that. You're also chairman of the Watchdog Committee.
I am, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Watchdog Committee, their job is to attend public meetings.
Mm-hmm. Report on them.
Right. County commissioners, school mm-hmm. board, aldermen, whatever.
Yeah, and Glenn Fink is also on that committee, and he attends more of those Board of Commissioners meetings now than I do. Yeah,
right.
So I'm trying to diversify things. And I wanted to mention that Rainer is the editor of our county Compass CCTA in Action page.
Right.
And that's a pretty big job, so we have writers for that as well. And Alan here, he's written some for that too. So.
All right, well, you've already jumped the gun on that one, so
I'll
go ahead and introduce Alan. Who's Alan?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, well, we have, okay, I got to get my notes here in front of me because we talked about, I've been inundated with another name all day long. I don't want to mistake this. So we have with us Alan.
Harrod.
Harrop.
H-O-R-R.
H-A-R-R-O-P.
Right.
Harrop.
Okay, here it is. It's in blue. H-A-R-R-O. Alan Harrop.
P.
O-P. O-P. Harrop.
Right. Yeah.
Got it.
I'm not listening to you anymore, Hal.
Well, I did mispronounce it. I apologize.
You did. It made me look bad.
No.
And everybody knows I've got a face for radio. So
it's not a name you hear every day.
That's right. It's not. Well, Alan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation. Appreciate being here.
Alan has written and submitted a number of articles on a number of topics of interest to us all. If you're conservative, it's of interest to you. And we're going to touch on some of those in the second part of the show. But I want to start off, get something off my chest here. And I think Diane agrees with me over there. Folks, Walmart sucks.
Yes, it does.
Oh, come on now, folks here.
It's, you know, they've done a lot of things over the years, but this last one has really just irked me to no end.
It does. It really does.
It's just the height of stupidity. They're buckling to pressure from useful idiots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Rick, is that an NRA hat you got on?
No. Daggone it, Hal.
It has NRA on it, that's all.
See, now you've got me on the list in California as a domestic terrorist. So.
Oh, boy.
Walmart's like, you know, American. It's all American. You know, we make fun of the Walmartians, the people that shop there. But, I mean, it's American. American items, American food. And this
Wait a minute. How long has it been since you went to Walmart?
A couple weeks ago.
You know, Sam Walton died.
Yeah.
Okay. That's when it was American. You'd be hard-pressed to find many items in there now that were made in America.
I know what you're saying. But, you know, good old American people go there, you know.
Well, yeah. Well, they're going because the prices are low.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the reason the prices are low is most of the stuff comes from China. So it's hard to compete with that.
Well, you know, Rick, they're talking about the discontinuing of the firearms, and somebody quickly pointed out more people are killed using a hammer than are killed using AR-15s.
Well, that's what I was getting into. The idiocy of the whole thing is they said that there was pressure from anti-gun groups, of course. You can expect that since the last shooting that was in Walmart. Mm-hmm. But also from their employees, who were afraid of the guns. Now, if you're in a place that's somebody that's either an illegal alien or just a plain-out bad person or a criminal who's not going to obey the laws anyway, and you can put billboards out on the front of the store if you want to saying no guns allowed, that's not going to matter to them. But now you've gone and said, we don't want a good guy with a gun in here either.
Well, you know, excuse me, I got my hands up, but I didn't wait. They didn't completely do away with all guns in their store. They said it would concealed carry, they didn't do away with. It's only open carry. So if you conceal carry, you're more likely carrying a pistol or something, you know, relatively small. And, I haven't seen many people walk into a Walmart with a rifle or a shotgun. I never have seen that.
Right. Well, I understand what you're saying, the numbers of people that are concealed carrying aren't quite as high as the ones that are not concealed carriers. Right. You don't see a whole lot of them in there open carrying anyway.
I thought almost everybody in our community carried.
It might be almost when you define our community as what's in this room, or
sorry.
Do you want to go outside this room into the neighborhood? That's one thing that I wanted to get off my chest was what Walmart has done. I see Mary over there waving. Mary, you don't carry, so what's your problem?
Well, there's a very interesting meme on Facebook, and it says, let's take a moment to thank Dick's, Walmart, and Google for supporting locally owned gun shops.
Yep, that's a good one. And there's another one that says, welcome to Walmart. For your safety, good guys with guns are no longer allowed, you know, stuff like that.
Well, look at schools, right? There's signs all over the schools. No guns, no firearms allowed on the premises. But who walks into schools? Shooters, right?
Yeah.
So these signs, it's not going to matter.
Right.
If someone wants to go in and shoot some people up in Walmart, they're going to do it just like they do in the schools.
Well, I can tell you, I've been carrying into Walmarts ever since there was a Walmart here. And there's never been an incident. But had there been, I think they'd a whole lot much rather had a good guy with a gun standing there between them and the bad guy with the gun than the way it's going to be now.
Absolutely.
Because by the time you call 911 and you get a response there, how many are you going to lose?
My point is, though, Rick, you're still going to carry your pistol into Walmart.
No, I'm not.
Why not?
I'm not going to Walmart anymore.
Okay.
Why? Because Walmart sucks.
Look, that's just a crack. They just cracked open the door. before long, it's going to be the whole thing. There'll be nothing because they won't stop at just that. And I understand your point, Hal, but the whole thing is it's still treading on our Second Amendment rights.
Oh, agreed.
Okay?
Agreed on that one, yes.
Whether you just took a slice out of it or if you chopped the whole head off of it or what, it's still a violation.
You're saying you're not going into Walmart is, to me, a reaction that if enough people said the same thing, it would put the same kind of pressure on them from a pro-Second Amendment angle as they've had put on them.
That's a good point, Rainer.
Because curtail our Second Amendment rights. Just go ahead and fringe on.
That's why I'm doing it, and that's a very good point, because we aren't vocal enough, okay? There have not been NRA members walking into establishments and blowing people away. But
I don't think you're ever going to see that.
San Francisco just established, what they call it, an order or whatever.
Ordinance?
Their Board of Commissioners. Identifying the NRA as domestic terrorist organization.
Really?
Yes, that was.
But not Antifa.
Yeah, not Antifa or the people that really go out there and commit these vicious acts of terrorism. But
you know, the whole state doesn't even read the Constitution? Doesn't read the Bill of Rights?
I'm not sure the whole state can read.
That blows my mind. Really blows my mind.
It does. Okay, well, that's the way we're starting to show off today. That'll give you a taste of what CCTA is interested in and what riles me up. So, first of all, we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll introduce you to our guest and have some good conversation with him.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, we have our usual crew here, and we have a guest, and that's Alan Harrop, and we'll introduce him a little bit better here in just a minute. Mary, read that meme to me again.
This was found on Twitter.
Okay.
I considered selling my weapons back to the government, but after a background check and thorough investigation into the buyer, I determined the buyer has a history of violence and is mentally unstable. Big risk to everyone around him.
Absolutely. Bingo. You know, there are a lot of smart people out there that have a whole lot more time on their hands, evidently, than I do, that come up with these things. And I enjoy running across them online like that. Diane comes up with a few every now and then. She posts out there. Yeah. Okay. Alan Harrop. Alan, you said you've been here about 6 years, and before that you were on a horse farm up in Raleigh.
North of Raleigh, town called Henderson.
Henderson, okay.
Nice little town.
All right. Were you farming horses?
Well, we were doing the old McDonald's farm kind of routine. Our youngest daughter was gotten into horseback riding, and we took a trip out west and liked the wide open spaces, came back and just started looking around and found this place that was just ideal. It was like a little bit of heaven.
Right.
And we went out there and we built fences and barns and all that kind of stuff that the farm needs, and had horses and cows and goats and geese, you name it, we had it. And I tell you the truth, it was a lot of work, but I enjoyed every minute of it. In fact, I miss it now.
Yeah, I can understand why you did that, because you said your previous job, you were chief psychologist for North Carolina prison systems.
That's correct.
Wow.
That's correct.
So you were probably ready to go to the horse farm.
Yeah, I needed some wide open space after being confined for 30 years.
Oh, wow. And prior to that, you were up in New York.
Well, that's where I was born, but I left New York after I went
Good
in
move.
Service. I spent 3.5 years in the U.S. Army during the Vietnam War, and then came back, went to NC State and got my advanced degree, PhD at NC State, and then been in North Carolina ever since, and wouldn't move back to New York for all the whiskey in Ireland.
Well said.
Well, I think you made a wise choice there. That, and plus 3 years in the Army, thank you for your service. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Hal, did you have something?
I was wondering what a prison psychologist, is that what you said you were, a head psychologist?
Yes.
What do they do?
Well, you did a number of things. First of all, you evaluate individuals that come into the prison system that may be suspected of having mental health issues or whatever, either be detected by the staff or the court refer them because they were some suspicion that they were mentally unstable or they had a history of mental illness. So we screened for that. We also did special offender programs. For example, we set up the first sex offender treatment program in North Carolina, not because we cared about the sex offenders, but we cared about the people they might victimize when they got out.
Right.
And so we set that program up, and, you know, I think it was fairly successful. You never know, you know, that type of crime is very, a lot of times, very undetectable. For a lot of them, especially the child molesters. But anyway, things like that. So we dealt with some specific types of offenders. Then we dealt with the mentally ill offenders. Mm-hmm. So,
interesting career. Well, I've been looking at some of the papers that you have written, authored, and it looks to me like you consider yourself to be a conservative.
Yes, I would definitely say that that's the case.
And you are newly associated with CCTA, so we're going to try not to run you off because you bring to us a wealth of information, and we appreciate that. I'm looking at one here. The title of it is Man-Made Global Warming, Facts versus Myth. And with the hurricane season on us and the storm that we are just getting over, I'm assuming we're getting over it, this being Wednesday night that we're recording this, it'll play on Saturday morning, and the storm may still be hanging around by then, I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of these people out there that are blaming these storms and the severity of these storms on the global warming issue. What's your opinion on that?
Well, just generally, I think that there's two approaches to life. One is a rational approach where you examine facts and truth, and then you draw conclusions. And then there's the other approach where people emotionally buy into some position, some idea, and frequently those are the individuals who will extend those beliefs far beyond any evidence to it. For example, there's absolutely no evidence that the frequency of hurricanes has gone up due to global warming, man-made or otherwise. Hurricanes have been occurring for as long as not only recorded history, but we're assuming prior to that. So it's just the kinds of people who are easily duped
right
into the idea that man is causing global warming are similarly easily duped into believing that hurricanes and other extreme weather is due to their belief system.
We like to call them useful idiots. And I'm going to quote a line from you to back up what you were saying there in this article you've written. It says, first of all, scientific truth is determined by experimentation, not by consensus. If consensus was sufficient, then scientific experimentation would not be necessary. I think that's a very true statement there. Getting back to the useful idiots, we got some congresswomen that have been newly elected, and one of them has spoken out. And it seems that one of the issues they're concerned about is the melting of the glaciers and the fact that they've learned that scientists supposedly are afraid that as the glaciers melt, it's going to be releasing diseases that have been frozen in ice for thousands of years that we have no way to combat. Now, that's like we're living in Jurassic Park, I think. So
yeah, it's going to get into the water system, like right?
It's going to get in.
These diseases, they've been latent for millions and billions of years. They're going to get into the water system, and then, oh, my God, all hell's going to break loose.
Right. If that were true.
Doomsday.
If that were true, it seems like these same people would be concerned about what we know for a fact is that these people that are illegally crossing the border are currently bringing diseases that we have eradicated years ago back into our country, but that doesn't seem to bother them.
And it's also
them.
Going into the water system.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and the sidewalks of San Francisco and Los Angeles and all that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a real mess. Well, Alan, I'm going to jump over here again. We can talk some more about the global warming if you'd like, but you have another one that is very timely and one we've been discussing here lately, and that's the Electoral College. There seems to be a contingency of these useful idiots that have been fed a line that they believe that democracy, which we are not under a democracy, we're under a democratic republic, but they like to call us a democracy over and over and over again. And that a democracy is the majority of the people rule. And they don't understand the Electoral College concept or precepts that our founding fathers were using when they developed that wonderful system that has saved our butts a number of times, most recently this past election. Explain to us briefly.
Sure. The Electoral College is something that, if you look at it historically, was a very unique conclusion or a unique invention that the Founding Fathers developed. And there was a minority of the Founding Fathers who thought that we should just have a pure democracy and be ruled by the popular vote. But there were other wiser individuals who understood what that would produce over a period of time, especially with urbanization. You could imagine what this country would be like right now if you had the president elected exclusively by popular vote, because then New York, California, Chicago, and those urban areas would rule the election, and the rest of us would not have any input into our future.
And they're doing such a wonderful job of ruling their own areas.
Right, you can see where they're heading, and so they would take the rest of us down the rat hole with them. But the Founding Fathers were wise enough to realize that we were a conglomeration of states, and that each state needed to retain its identity. And the only way to do that was to have the electoral college system. Interestingly enough, when you look at how senators were elected, there was a time in which the senators were elected by the legislature in each state, not by popular vote within that state.
Right.
And that change took place at a time when, again, I believe there was a move towards trying to go to a pure democracy and away from a republic. What's kind of scary, what's happening, some of the states, I believe they're up to about 14 or 15 states, have passed laws that would require the delegates in their states, the delegates to the electoral college, they would have to vote for whichever candidate won the national popular vote, not the popular vote within their state.
Right.
So if you were living in Maryland and the majority of the people in Maryland voted for candidate A, but the popular vote voted for candidate B, the electoral members would have to vote, the Maryland members would have to vote for candidate B, who got the national plurality, not their own state, right. Which is, again, if you look at it, it's a violation of the Constitution. It might or might not be overturned, but it's troubling that so many states are moving in that direction.
And the whole purpose of that is to render the Electoral College totally irrelevant.
Correct.
You know, it was interesting to me that when the Founding Fathers were debating all of this, they were concerned that the big states like Virginia could override the little states like New York.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Can I ask something?
Sure.
There's a lawsuit recently, and it was from, I forgot which, I think it might have been Colorado. The attorney general removed one of their electors because the elector was supposed to throw his vote for Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. I think, because Hillary Clinton carried the state. But instead, he threw his vote for Kasich.
Kasich.
Yeah. So he threw his vote for that. So the attorney general said, "No, you can't do that. You're supposed to throw your vote for the candidate that won the popular vote in the state." So he nullified kicked the elector out and nullified his vote. So that elector sued and took it to, I'm not sure if it's the Supreme Court, it might be the state Supreme Court. They found that the attorney general was wrong because the U.S. Constitution, and here's where it might affect this national popular vote movement, is that electors under the Constitution have no obligation to vote for anyone, even if that candidate won the state's popular vote. There's no obligation for the elector to vote with that candidate.
Exactly.
Similarly, if there were a national popular vote, there's still no requirement that a elector has to go with a particular candidate. So I think the Constitution actually takes care of this issue, the national popular vote. I mean, if they try to move forward with it, I know this movement is actually a contractual end run around the Constitution, but this, they're saying that this case may actually provide the jurisprudence
for this. But Diane, isn't that true only if the electors understand what you just said and stand on their own 2 feet and vote as they?
Did you know that? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I knew that.
I did too.
Right, it's in the Constitution.
Right.
So, you know, I just remember reading it, and I think there's two places in the Constitution where it actually says, you know, that you can vote for president separately and a vice president separately. But this case reinforced what everybody should have already known.
Right. Bob.
An interesting thing is the electoral representatives for an individual state. I believe they are taken from the party that's won the most popular vote within that state. Mm-hmm. So now you have a popular vote in a state picking their electoral members. And now you're saying that those electoral members now, in some certain circumstances, would have to vote exactly opposite what their party would want them to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go back.
They're trying to override the Electoral College.
I want to go back to the case because I have some information on it.
Yeah. Was it Colorado? What state was it?
It's Baca versus Colorado. Mm-hmm. And the conclusion was the text of the Constitution makes clear that the states do not have the constitutional authority to interfere with the presidential electors who exercise their constitutional right to vote for the president or vice president candidates of their choice. But, now here's where it gets interesting. Colorado's Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, said the decision takes power from Colorado voters and sets a dangerous precedent. State officials say they expect to appeal. Los Angeles lawyer Jason Harrow, who represented Baca and the group Equal Citizens, said he will appeal the issue to the Supreme Court in a similar case from Washington State that resulted in the opposite ruling. So this is going to go to the Supreme Court. Now, if the Supreme Court decides to follow the Constitution,
Exactly.
we don't have a problem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If the Supreme Court decides to, you know, go off in la-la land, this could get very
interesting. Yeah, and I think it's, actually, I think it's a clear-cut case.
But it, also, remember that the Supreme Court issues opinions, not law.
Right. But the language, plain language is clear. The intent is clear. And the National Popular Vote Initiative is completely opposite. Its intent is to abolish the Electoral College, to go against the intent of the Electoral College.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up, Bob. Could you say it slower for our slow listeners? The Supreme Court doesn't make law.
It issues opinions.
Opinions. Not law.
Not law.
That's good to know, because a lot of people are under the false impression that they're the final word. They make the law, whatever they say is the law of the land. It's not true. Hal?
Hey, I was just wondering if it's too early for me to ask Alan a question on another subject.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And that's because we're going to shift gears, take a break, come back, and then you can do that.
All okay? right.
But before we go to the break, I did want to read the conclusion of Alan's printed article here on the Electoral College. Alan wrote that the Founding Fathers gave us a system that helps ensure America remains a republic and has worked successfully for over 200 years. A pure democracy is desired by the Democrats and the leftists, I would say, would destroy our representative republic and permit control by large urban areas. So, folks, that's why the Electoral College is important, and it's very important for you to understand how it works, because you need to have this conversation with your family members, your neighbors, and anybody else that thinks it's a good idea to get rid of the Electoral College.
Rick, can you tell our listeners where they can read Alan's article?
No, I can't. Where can they read it, Alan?
Oh, nowhere.
Nowhere.
Because it hasn't been published yet. I'm hoping to get it in.
One of the subsequent issues of the County Compass.
Right.
But the CCATA has a page. I'm hoping that perhaps in
I think maybe
future
it be
edition.
Yes,
can
I think.
Can somebody help them set up a blog site?
Well, we're going. Rainer is fixing it up to go into County Compass on the CCTA Perfect. Page. And once she has all that done and I get an electronic copy, then it'll go on our CCTA page.
All right.
Right.
Okay. And I've written an article on the Electoral College fairly recently on For Love of God and Country.
Well, where can we find that?
loveaboutincountry.com.
Rick, when you're talking of pure democracy, I'm trying to think of the author who said, when the public realizes that they can raid the treasury, you know, that when the majority of the public realizes they can raid the treasury, that's the end of...
Right. Yeah. I can't remember the author
that,
either.
That might be like Margaret Thatcher or...
No, it goes back much further.
Much further. Okay. We are going to take a break here, but before we do, I want to, because of the relevance of what we've been talking about and the fact that Tuesday is Election Day, again, this is being recorded on Wednesday night, so we do not know the effects of the storm at this point. We do know that early voting is going to be terminated early because of the weather. We are hoping that Tuesday is still going to be the election day. Folks, it's very, very, very important. If you didn't take advantage of early voting, please try to make arrangements and make sure that you get to the polls on Tuesday and cast your vote. And I don't care who you're voting for. I just want you to participate in the process, because we're getting a lot of bad results sometimes because of lack of participation. Low voter turnout. It's just ridiculous.
It's very low. It's
how
very
low the voter turnout is. And then people want to gripe and complain about the type of representation they're getting, and they're not participating in the process. So please go out and vote on Tuesday. Rainer, real quick.
I look at it differently, Rick. I don't want anybody to go and vote who hasn't informed themselves.
Well,
I hope all of those will go. And I think I want people to feel the need to inform themselves.
Well, I was kind of hoping if they're listening to our show, that's what they're doing, is trying to inform
themselves. Good comeback, Rick.
Because that's what our job is here. That's our whole intent. Okay, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back in just a moment.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. And again, our guest speaker today is Alan Harrop. And Alan, or Harrop?
Harrop.
I'll get it right. I promise. It might take a couple of years, but
take some practice.
Take some practice.
I'll stay with it.
Alan Harrop. And Alan, you had some more comments on global warming.
Yes, before we leave the global warming topic, because I know it's very important to a lot of people, that it's just two elements of it that I think everybody should know about. And I strongly support I recommend that everyone research this topic on their own. Do not base your conclusion on what you hear in the media,
right,
or what you hear by the extremists who are telling you that in 10 or 12 years the earth will be uninhabitable unless we do something dramatic.
Right. That's something
that is not true.
That's something we try to drum into our listeners' heads all the time, is doing their own research. And another thing that we're very adamant about is look for the sources. When we publish documentation on our website and or give you information, we try to provide the sources of where the information comes from,
right.
Not give you that it's an anonymous submission or something like that.
Right.
So when you're doing your research on global warming, as Alan has suggested here, make sure you look for the sources. And if there is no source material, I discount it in most cases because it's just an opinion at that point, unless they can back it up with some facts.
That's correct. And I would highly recommend a book to everyone. It's available online. I think I got this through Amazon. It's called Inconvenient Facts. And the author is Gregory Wrightstone. And he does an excellent job of summarizing major issues in a very readable, concise fashion. I think everybody who reads it will be much better informed. I know I am. I'm not a climate expert, but I believe after reading this and absorbing that information, all of us will be better informed to make an intelligent, rational decision.
Right. I think he published that in rebuttal to Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth.
Well, that's probably true. Certainly the topic, I mean, the title would reflect that. But I wanted to just point out two major things. First of all, the Earth has varied in temperature over its existence. There's never been a time in which the Earth has had the same temperature for an extended period of time. That's just a plain fact.
Well, as with all things in nature, it's cyclical.
It varies.
It's cycles.
And unfortunately, the analogy that the climate extremists use is the human body. They kind of imply that, for example, with humans, 98.6 is a normal temperature, and if it deviates from that, your body takes corrective action to get it back. The Earth doesn't function that way. In fact, warmer periods are better for mankind than the opposite. For example, over the past 10,000 years, 6,000 of those years, the Earth has been warmer than it is today. So all those people that are pulling their hair out, saying the Earth is going to, you know, the oceans are going to raise and all the ice is going to melt. There have been many times in the past where there was no ice, not only in Greenland, there was no ice at either pole, and the Earth continued to exist. So if you look at it historically, you realize that we are actually coming out of an ice age. Ice ages, and there's been eight of them in the last 800,000 years. All of these ice ages and subsequent what they call inter-ice age or interglacial warming periods, the ice age part of it has lasted between 70 and 120,000 years. During those periods of time, the Earth would be pretty well uninhabitable for man, except in its real tropics. For example, in the last ice age, the ice over New York City was 2 miles thick. Now, some people might think that's probably a good idea for New York City at the moment. But and the way they're going, they may wind up that way. But anyway, it shows you how dramatic and how detrimental the ice part of these cycles. We are in a warm period. The warm periods only last 10 to 15,000 years on average. So we're talking about 70,000 to 120,000 compared to 10,000 to 15,000. We are at the tail end of a warming period. And that is why the temperature on Earth has continued to go up gradually but steadily over the past several thousand years, and it's going to continue to do that until we enter the next ice age. And that would be much more damaging and threatening to the human population of the world. It could not be, we could not sustain the population of this Earth if it got colder. We can't sustain it if it gets warmer. Warmer means more food, more plants,
right,
and so on. So those two elements of it. The idea that, and here's the important fact about that, the variation in these cycles. All these cycle variations took place before mankind started burning fossil fuels.
Right.
The idea that burning fossil fuels is creating a change in the climate is not supported by any facts that I've been able to find.
I might also point out during that time they had massive volcano eruptions, which one eruption poured more into the atmosphere than man has with fossil fuels.
Right, Rick. And there are some speculations that some of these cycles are caused by things such as variations in Earth's orbit around the Earth, variation in the tilting of the axis, variation in the current flows within the oceans, for example, currents that flow the Labrador Current and the Gulf Stream that come up that create impacts on the climate are very important, and they can vary and they can change unrelated to mankind's activity. It's pretty arrogant, actually, to think that mankind and our activity can affect the entire Earth, and an Earth that's existing for over 4 billion years.
Right. Very well said.
The second point I'd like to make, which is related to this fossil fuel thing, is CO2. The big bugaboo is what they call the greenhouse effect. The greenhouse effect being an assumption that carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, if it gets too high, actually will produce a system where the heat of the cannot escape.
Right.
So therefore, it will continue to get hotter and hotter and hotter. There's absolutely no evidence, experimental evidence of that. Those are purely speculative models that have never been tested, and there's actually no way of testing it. And so that is really not something that people should buy into, because there's no facts for it. The other thing is the CO2 levels have been increasing for the past 40, 50 years. Correspondingly, the temperature of the Earth has not increased correlationally with that increase in CO2. So that's the second thing. And the other point I just want to make quickly is the impact of these desired recommended changes, changes that are necessary to address this issue that are advocated by the extreme environmentalists, would significantly reduce the standard of living for all Americans. We would essentially destroy our economy if we go down this road that they're recommending.
Absolutely. It's an undoable thing. Well, Alan, those are all very good points, and we appreciate you bringing that to us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap this show up.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills.
Our next concealed carry class is scheduled for December 16.
Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, once again, we've been talking with our special guest speaker, Alan Harrop, tonight. And Alan's brought a lot of interesting facts here. If you're one of those in the Biden camp that is more interested in the truth than the facts, then we're sorry, but Alan brought facts with him tonight. But wait a minute, it was true too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you get it both ways.
That usually happens that way.
Yeah, you get it both ways.
Can I just mention, Alan, isn't it true we have a clearinghouse? We have a system to deal with CO2 emissions and CO2 buildup, right? That's our plants. That's what they thrive on, right? Well, they convert the CO2 into oxygen.
Yeah,
so.
But we're burning the Amazon down, so that's no
but
longer.
But we have a built-in system, you know.
That's a good point. The CO2, what people don't realize is that CO2 is not a pollutant. It's not a toxin. It is actually plant food.
Exactly. And the more oxygen we get, right?
Right. Without CO2, life on the earth could not exist.
Right.
And in fact, right now, the CO2 levels, although they've been going up over the past 40 years, they are at a point that is lower than the CO2 has been throughout most of Earth's history. They are at a point, let's just for argument's sake, that's a point is 400 particles per million is what they term it. 400 particles per million. If you get down below 150, plants will cease to exist, and so will the rest of us cease to exist.
Wow.
The average over the course of the Earth's existence is almost near 2,000. So we are actually at a low point in the CO2 level. So raising the CO2 level will actually enhance plant growth, food availability. In fact, they've done studies where an increase in the CO2 level will substantially increase food production worldwide, mm-hmm. just at a time when the population is growing. And in fact, the satellite images have shown that over the past 30, 40 years, the amount of vegetation and trees and all kinds of plants has actually increased on the Earth, not decreased. And that's primarily due to the rise in CO2. So diminishing CO2 could work in our own detriment, because it would make us less likely to be able to feed the entire population of the Earth, which keeps expanding.
Well, there you go with some more of those inconvenient facts.
The inconvenient truth to the liberal left. Sorry,
inconvenient
guys.
Facts. Okay, well, Alan, thanks again for joining us tonight. And,
you certainly
folks,
will. I appreciate the opportunity.
Alan has encouraged you to do your own research, not to take his word for it, our word, anybody else's word. Do your own research. He's given you a source here that you can look up, and that's Inconvenient Facts. Also, We're going to challenge you to do that. And then we're going to test you on that, because we're inviting Alan to come and do a program at one of our monthly meetings. He'll be checking his calendar. It may be as soon as this month, but we'll keep you posted on that, when he'll be there. And you bone up on it and bring all your inconvenient truths if you'd like. We'll have a discussion on the global warming debacle. Hi, folks. This is your host, Rick Hopkins. And since this show was pre-recorded, our guest, Alan Harrop, the speaker that just gave you a presentation on the climate change hoax, has checked his calendar and is available for our September meeting. So on September 17th, that's Tuesday, evening at 7 p.m. at Stanley Hall Ballroom, Alan Harrop once again will be our guest speaker and bring in additional facts on the climate change hoax and giving you information about that. And we'll open the floor up to a question and answer session. So if you have any answers or if you have any questions, we'll take either one. And we welcome you to come out and join us at CCTA's monthly meeting, free and open to the public, Tuesday night, September 17th, Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern. Folks, thanks for joining in. CCTA Wake Up Call. Go to cctaxpayers.com, and we'll hear from you again next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Have you got a topic you'd like to hear discussed on CCTA Wake Up Call? Well, then contact us at cctaxpayers.com. Or email Hal at cctaxpayers.com. That's Hal, H-A-L, at cctaxpayers.com. We're a conservative talk radio show, but we value your opinion and would love to have you join us. Again, contact Hal at cctaxpayers.com.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake-Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.